Hashtag you don't have to be Jewish.
Did load shedding stage two take us by surprise? Well, we're back to stage one, thankfully, but very clear indications that this is here to stay at least until August on and off, and then we can expect this for the next couple of years. Were we expecting it? Chris Yerland is an energy analyst. He's joining us this morning. Chris, good morning. Thanks for taking the time to speak to us. How are you?
Very well, thanks, and morning to you and your listeners.
Right, so did this come as a surprise? It always does seem to surprise, certainly surprises me. It surprises me when the power goes off. I'm even more surprised when it comes back on again. This just seems to be an ongoing cycle.
You know, we live in hope, and when we don't have load shedding for a week or 2 weeks or a month, we think, wow, all the problems are gone. Thank goodness. But of course, the underlying issues still remain and are going to remain with us for some time to come. Yes, of course, Eskom has to do a lot of maintenance. That is necessary always and in all types of equipment and plants and factories and et cetera, including power stations. But ultimately, maintenance only takes you so far. And at some point, you've got to invest in new plant, new equipment. It's like a car. You can keep a car going for many, many years, but you can't push it hard. You've got to only drive it on weekends and treat it with kid gloves and really nurture it and look after it. But what we really need now is workhorses, things that can be running 24 hours a day flat out. And that requires a new generation capacity. And not just coal-fired power. You know, people say that renewable energy is intermittent. It's variable. The sun doesn't shine at night and the wind is variable. But no one is suggesting that wind and solar on their own is the silver bullet. No, it's wind and solar, which are the least cost energy sources, combined with flexible generation that can be used to fill the troughs. And the gaps, and the combination or blend of wind and solar PV and hydropower and pumped storage and battery energy storage and gas to power, the combination is the least cost option that can deliver reliable, dispatchable, 24-hour so-called base supply, mid-merit and peaking plant. And that's why it is the technology choices within the integrated resource plan for electricity. The thing is, we now have to implement the plan. It's no good talking about it.
Well, I was just going to say this, you know, so we all know this, or not, we all don't all know this, we now know this, but we know that South Africa has incredible sunshine, certain areas are windy. We know that with a combination of all sorts of ideas, we can really create an incredibly efficient and probably clean energy producer. But in the meantime, there's not very much that the normal person, the man in the street, person in the street can do about it, because right now we don't have options.
Well, certainly when it comes to the state procurements, that means the risk mitigation IPP program, which is 2,000 megawatts, gone out to bid and is about to be adjudicated. And then there's a renewable energy IPP program. These are what we call utility scale developments. They're not going to deliver into the grid, you know, for another 3 years. So we're in a situation now where there's the gap between supply and demand, which is resulting in quite regular load shedding on and off. The question is, what, as you've said, what can we do about it? Well, the thing is, there are things we can do about it, and we have to start taking ownership of our own energy future and realizing we need to start looking at various initiatives to supplement our own grid electricity needs, and in that way to reduce the demands on the grid so that Eskom is not under such stress. It's clearly unable to meet its mandate and deliver reliable electricity, and we need to now realize that if we wait for government, we're going to be waiting for years. They're very slow, and we're stuck in the central command and control type of economy where the command structure is sometimes dysfunctional and incredibly slow and bureaucratic. So we've got to move quickly. And that is the future. In the next couple of years, the only solution is to start thinking about own generation, self-generation, wheeling power through the grid, both at domestic, commercial, industrial, mining, agricultural installations throughout South Africa. And those that look after the energy future, they will be secure going forward.
Is there an acceptance by government that 13 years later, that there's really no light, quite literally, at the end of the tunnel, and that they need to change strategies?
I think there is in certain parts of government, but in other parts of government, they just seem to be living in a world of the past, backward-looking, ideologically driven, and just don't really understand the changes that are taking place globally in the energy sector. There's a move away from central generation with long transmission lines, from central power stations feeding distant areas like in South Africa, power down to the Eastern Cape and the Northern Cape and the West Coast, etc. So there's a move towards distributed power closer to the customers, smaller generation units that can be built quickly, flexibly, and that ultimately is the future, and the economics is becoming more and more compelling. And there are people that just don't accept this, and remember too, there are strong vested interests in the status quo who are going to fight back and protect their sectors. I'm talking about the coal mining industry, coal truck drivers. Going to really protect their territory and do everything possible, to continue that status quo because they derive a lot of revenue therefrom.
Yeah. Do you foresee a time in the near future where municipalities themselves can take ownership of it? So City Power decides through the municipality of Johannesburg that, you know, this is definitely not working. They handling the flak from an aging Eskom infrastructure. They would like to set up their own power supply. Is that possible?
Yes, it is possible, and it is happening, and there is a growing move for this, and there's pressure from municipalities to firstly engage in what they call own generation. There's pressure to buy power from independent power producers who can deliver electricity cheaper than Eskom can. And there's also pressure from within the municipalities, businesses and residents who want to generate electricity, put rooftop solar PV on their roofs and generate into the grid and get paid for it. These are things that are happening globally. They're going to start happening in South Africa. They're already happening. Just yesterday, I read an article that five municipalities in the Western Cape are pushing to reduce their dependency on Eskom by doing a measure of own generation. Mm. It's happening. Of course, the municipal electricity sector is not in good shape. There are, of course, some municipalities that are okay, but others are in very poor shape and are really not financially or technically or managerial. They don't have the people to be able to build, own, and operate these sort of systems. But on the other hand, there are municipalities that are.
Right.
And we'd like you to see these changes as we move forward.
Jenny says the Gariep Dam has been offline for a while. What is the issue there, and where else does South Africa have hydroelectric power?
Yeah, look, I'm not sure of the specifics of the Gariep Dam. It may be that there's down for maintenance. It could be technical issues. I'm not sure. There certainly isn't a shortage of water right now in South Africa. So that's not the problem. We do have other hydro resources, but they are reasonably limited. The biggest hydro resource we have is we import electricity from our neighbor, Mozambique, through the Cahora-Bassa line from the Cahora-Bassa Dam in Mozambique. And that generates about 1,500 megawatts of electricity, which we import. And so it's very important not to... People sometimes say, why are we exporting power? No, South Africa is a net importer of power from our neighbors, and we rely on that in order to avoid load shedding. And that is hydropower. That's the biggest source of hydropower. There are others from the Lesotho. We also import power. And also on the Orange River, there are a number of dams. And then there are some small-scale hydro projects around and about. They are useful, but they don't generate large-scale power for the grid, but they're more for local power in various communities and farms, etc.
Right. And Benjamin challenging the cost effectiveness of renewable or sustainable energy. Is it much more expensive?
Well, it depends. If you are putting in what we call a grid-tied system simply to supplement your electricity needs or to reduce your bill, electricity bill, and you don't have battery storage, it is very economical these days, and there are very good tax incentives. Business can write off the cost of a solar PV installation in the year that it occurs, 100%. That's a very significant tax advantage. The business's case is becoming more and more compelling as Eskom prices go up every single year, mm-hmm. and the prices of renewable energy, solar panels, inverters, and battery storage systems come down every year. And if one's looking beyond just reducing your electricity bill, but also for small businesses, for example, operating from home, like myself, load shedding is playing havoc with my business, and I've got to install a battery storage system and a solar PV system. It's not about the price. It's about the continuity of supply for my small business, and the cost of not having electricity is much more than the cost of putting in such a system.
Yeah, I absolutely agree with you. Unfortunately, we do need to leave it there. Chris Earland, energy analyst, talking about the situation in South Africa. Were we expecting stage two load shedding, and what are some of the technical issues that have led to the deterioration of the plant?